They don't use white smoke like at the Vatican, but China's leaders are signaling economic changes after their big secret meeting.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Chinese leaders emerged from a four-day meeting today, and as conveyed through state media there, the leaders are announcing a shift toward an even more market-based Chinese economy. Marketplace's China correspondent Rob Schmitz is on the line. Rob, what'd they say?
China's communist leaders said the government would allow the markets to play a decisive role in allocating resources in the world's second largest economy. On the face of it, this may not seem shocking, but for a country where local governments tend to micromanage resources from the central government, this shows China's leadership wants the private sector to get a fair shake. And that gets at the heart of China's economic problems. The state controls a lion's share of the flow of capital in China. In the past 20 years, that capital has flowed mainly between the government and its own state-run companies. Companies, which have built a lot of big infrastructure projects. All of this has spurred a steady rate of GDP growth. Economists say China needs to change this formula so that consumption is spurring the country's economic growth, with the private sector taking the lead. So ceding control to the markets means a fairer playing field for private businesses in China, as well as for potentially foreign businesses, including U.S. companies, which are investing in China at an unprecedented rate.
Marketplace's China correspondent Rob Schmitz. The man we call Treasury Secretary and others see as Finance Minister today began a five-country tour of Asia. Jack Lew plans to press China on its generally low currency that makes it easier for China to sell its merchandise in the U.S. He also is proselytizing for a new trade agreement, Shannon Mullen reports.
The 12 would-be member countries in the Trans-Pacific Partnership make up almost 40% of the global economy. The U.S., Japan, Malaysia, and the rest have been trying to close the free trade deal for 3 years.
It requires political compromise. And generally in these cases, people don't do that until they have no other choices.
Robert Lawrence is a professor of international trade and finance at Harvard.
People like, you know, the Treasury Secretary's stature are going to be what it takes to make these compromises politically feasible.
U.S. priorities include the free flow of data across borders. And our trade partners? Jeff Schott is with the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
We have a Congress that has not yet acted on a farm bill, and we have a number of restrictions that other countries want to see lifted. Everyone has something that they're going to have to put into the pot.
And just 6 more weeks before their self-imposed deadline to do it. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Gabriel Thompson got an assignment for the magazine Golf Digest. As part of a four-part series on Latino golfers and Latinos in the golf industry, he took some jobs working for golf courses. His piece, The Caretakers, hits the stands in Golf Digest today. Mr. Thompson, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You went undercover for this series. Give me a sense of what your days were like.
So I think our shift started 4 or 5 in the morning. Besides having to cut the greens and make sure the water level is right, there's storms, there's leaves that need to be raked. So from the moment you get started to the moment you end, you're constantly in motion.
And your fellow workers were almost entirely immigrants. Many of them, you think, people who are here illegally without documentation?
It's a mix. You know, I went around the country to different courses. I think like most low-wage workplaces, there's a good number of undocumented immigrants. But there's also a number of Latino immigrants who are, in fact, either legal residents or U.S. citizens.
In fact, you spent some time with one golf course worker who really needs a second job to keep his family going.
Yeah, Francisco's an incredible guy. I mean, he has a job at a course making about $9 an hour. So he took on a second job working at McDonald's. And so I followed him through the course of the day. It starts at 5 in the morning, gets off at the golf course at 2:30 in the afternoon, and then drives across town to start his shift at McDonald's and will get home at 10 or 11 at night.
Yeah, so it's an extraordinarily long day. It's your impression, though, that when folks go out on the golf course, they're not aware of what's really making this tick, and that it's a very labor-intensive industry, and there's a lot of folks working hard who are often invisible.
Well, think about the ideal golf course worker. The ideal is to be invisible. You know, you arrive early. And then once people show up, you're quiet, you're behind the scenes, you're trying not to disturb them. And I think my purpose in the piece is to introduce golfers to this world upon which they're very dependent, but upon which they know very little about.
Gabriel Thompson went undercover working on several golf courses for a piece he did in Golf Digest titled The Caretakers. Mr. Thompson, thank you.
Thank you.
And architects in London have reportedly hit on a solution to stop a high-powered solar reflection beaming off a new skyscraper in the financial district there. The curve of the building at 20 Fenchurch Street seems to concentrate solar energy and apparently melted the side mirror off of a Jaguar XJ last summer. The Financial Times is reporting today the developer will likely add some aluminum fins to stop what some have been calling a death ray. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.